Great to have you with us today. Also great to have with us Joe Collins. He's a 13-year U.S. Navy veteran, a Republican candidate for Congress in California's 43rd District. You may know that's the district that is currently occupied by Maxine Waters. Or actually, I should say, Joe Collins, she doesn't actually live in the district, but she represents the 43rd District. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, she represents it, but doesn't live here.
No. Do you live in the district, Joe?
Yeah, born and raised and everything.
Amazing. Amazing. What a difference. I hear L.A.'s got this mask mandate coming back. Are you excited about that?
No. You know what? I stopped following these rules a long time ago when they started getting ridiculous, from the vaccines to the mask. All of it doesn't make any sense to me.
No. No, you're right. And they don't do a very good job of convincing people. They just tell them what to do, and then they tell people not to worry about the details. I think people are kind of sick and tired of it. Are people tired of the restrictions in L.A.?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it's an overreach of the government trespassing against people's rights. That's what I think it is. But a lot of people are really over it. You still have some people who would follow the mandates and they'll still wear their mask, even though the restrictions are lifted, you know, and this, that, and the other. But, you know, the majority of the people are really sick of it.
Yeah, I bet they are. What's going to happen to Gavin Newsom? Are they going to succeed in that recall election?
You know what? Larry Elder just hopped in that race, and I think he has the best chance of winning.
Yep.
But it's going to take engagement. One thing that Republicans and conservatives don't do is engage in the urban places that are considered Democrat strongholds. And so if anybody want to win against a Democrat, you know, you got to engage that. You got to engage that urban areas.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I saw this week, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is that the Black Lives Matter organization came out and issued a statement of support for the communist government in Cuba and instead turned its ire towards the United States and its federal government, suggesting that it's our so-called, quote, inhumane treatment of Cubans that's leading to people protesting for the end of communism in the streets of Cuba. At this point, do we need any more evidence that Black Lives Matter as an organization, a political organization, that its sympathies lie with communists and Marxists?
No, we don't need any more evidence. I think everybody are pretty familiar with the objective of Black Lives Matter. And I think it's funny, at this point, they're just reaching for whatever they can to remain relevant, because that organization is dying fast, especially when they found out that the majority of the Black Lives Matter people are using that money to, you know, buy all these nice houses and stuff like that. So the organization is dying. So they're doing what they can to stay alive. And this is just another stunt for them.
I mean, it's amazing, too. Like, the idea that you could suggest that you're standing up for the vulnerable and then to take the side of the regime that's crushing the lives of vulnerable people in Cuba. Like, normal people would see this and be like, oh, this is a scam. Like, they're not standing up for the vulnerable at all.
Yeah, and normal people would, but, you know, the problem is mainstream media would never come out and cover it. They would never come out and call them out. And we've saw it a lot, especially in the Black community. You see Black Lives Matter, they come protest whenever a person is shot by a white cop or a white person. They never come on Black-on-Black crime. They never come when people are destroying each other's, you know, communities. They never come on that one. And so, you know, we've seen it for a long time. They've been a fraud. They raise millions and hundreds of millions of dollars off the bodies of dead Black people and never reinvest into the communities or the families of the people who they raise money from.
It's just awful. Yeah, I know you've been following the president of the United States, Joe Biden, claims he has claimed lately that he wants to confront crime in American cities. The way that he says he wants to do that is to go after gun sales. But what I'm not hearing him talk about is gang violence and true inner city homicide. What do you think of the president's concerns, apparent concern about violence in America?
Well, I think he's out of touch, and he's been out of touch for a long time. You talk about a person who's been in office for now 48 years, talk about solving problems he could have solved, you know, 40 years ago. And I think this is another way that him and his administration are going to try to take people's guns from him. You got to understand, criminals are not following the rules. You're going after law-abiding citizens who like to follow rules when you talk about, banning certain type of gun sales, restricting gun sales. That's who you're hurting. You're not hurting criminals. Criminals don't care about what Joe Biden has to say. And I'll tell you, if you want to get people off the streets, if you want to stop gang violence, he will open back up our states and start bringing jobs back to our countries, especially the inner cities where you see the majority of the violence.
You know, Joe Biden pitched himself as some sort of unity president. He started his presidency in his inauguration suggesting that that's what he was going to seek. But then this week, Joe Collins, we saw Joe Biden suggest in a speech in Philadelphia that Texas and its effort to pass voter integrity laws that would actually enfranchise especially more black voters, and you don't hear that in the media, it would. He came out and said that this is the most sincere threat to democracy since the Civil War. I mean, we were watching Joe Biden and the Democrats around him heighten the rhetoric around race to just absurd levels, and I think scaring the hell out of a lot of people. Why is he doing that? Why the focus so much on trying to make people fearful on the basis of race?
Well, I'll tell you, in the art of war, fear is one of the best ways to get people in line and keep them doing whatever you want to. So him and this fear mongering, you know, he thinks it's going to help him. But now we've been pressed into fear so much that it's actually hurting him. To say that, you know, these voter suppression laws are suppressing the votes of black people, making it hard for black people to vote, is kind of ignorant after he said that if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. You know, it should have been, well, if you can't vote for me, then we need to put things in place so you can vote for me or something along those lines. But Joe Biden, the rest of the Democrat Party, they're all out of touch.
Yeah. I mean, and the reason, by the way, I say that more black voters would be enfranchised by the Texas law is because we have Georgia to look at as well. There was in both Georgia and Texas, the previous way things have been done is they use signature matching on these absentee ballots. And that's a recipe for disaster because you're asking bureaucrats to look at a ballot and look at a signature on file and then to toss ballots they think don't match. The replacement system for that in both Georgia and Texas is to write your driver's license number or, in Texas, the last four of your social security number. And now they can't throw it out anymore because now they have a way to actually say, oh, yeah, this is actually you. In Georgia, well over half of the voters, I believe, who had their ballots tossed were black voters. In other words, the Republican law in Texas will enfranchise people, black people in particular. But the media doesn't talk about this. Joe Biden doesn't talk about this.
No, of course not. And I think that's what the majority of Americans want. Even when it comes to being identified, I personally would think the last four to Social Security number would suffice. That'll stop people who are illegal but have a driver's license from voting. So that last four to Social Security number is absolutely something I would go for. I mean, you got to have it when you open up a bank account, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so why not have it when you got to elect somebody who can make decisions that'll change your life.
Now, I have a theory about this, Joe, and we're talking to Joe Collins. He's a 13-year U.S. Navy veteran, Republican candidate for Congress in California's 43rd district, the incumbent there, Maxine Waters. Joe Collins, one of my theories about this is that Democrats and Democrat campaign strategists in particular are very nervous about the racial depolarization that's going on in the country. In other words, people are less inclined to look at this color of their skin and then choose a political party now. That's a good positive change for America, that people are more open-minded about what ideology they want to associate with. And the impact has been that Republicans have picked up a lot of support, especially among Hispanic voters, and they're picking up some support among black voters, and that is really scaring Democratic strategists, which may explain why we see the behavior out of Joe Biden that we saw this week, basically trying to scare people back into his corner.
Yeah. And it's sad. And I've said this plenty of times, you know, for the Republican Party, if they want support, they're going to have to go engage in the Democrat strongholds where the majority of minorities in America live at.
Right.
But for the Democrats, if you want to keep, you know, the minorities on your side, you got to start doing stuff. I mean, you know, I'm in South L.A. It's been considered the hood for 35 years, as far as I know, because I'm 35 years old. Why is that? You know, why don't we have infrastructure? Why do we have the poorest education, the poorest schools within the nation? Why don't we have quality jobs? Like, they have to start producing instead of just talking. You know, Maxine Waters' motto was, I fight for you. Well, hell, you haven't won. You've been fighting for over 47 years. Don't you think it's time to give it up?
Yeah, you would think so. What is the current trend? And I imagine I know the answer to this. What's the current trend with the homicide rate in L.A. right now?
Oh, it's high. I think our crime rate, well, the homicide rate itself, gun violence itself is up 702% in South LA, and that's really high. I mean, you see, little black boys, and it's the children that worry me the most. The children are the ones being killed, and the legislators haven't came out one time and say anything about it. They're absolutely silent. I think the death rate from gun violence has been higher than the death rate from coronavirus for the past 2 years, and nobody's ever shut South LA down to solve the gun violence problem. They haven't shut any states down to solve gun violence problem, which the rates are higher than the COVID rates. And that's according to the CDC.
That's an amazing comparison. So, Joe Collins, what could be done? I know you obviously would like to be a member of Congress to represent LA. What could be done for your district?
Well, a lot, and I'll start with this. We got to get jobs back. We got to get people working. We got to get the single mothers the daycares that they need in order for their children to be protected while they go to work. That's extremely important. We got to improve our education, school choice. We got to also get trade and vocational training back in the schools and set our young people up for success. We got to get financial literacy back into our communities, and we got to start rebuilding that relationship with the law enforcement and the police. That's just the basics of having a productive society.
Where are you on the issue of criminal justice reform? I know that there's a lot of talk among black communities in particular about just the length of time that fathers end up serving time in prison, and that has a real economic depression on a community when you don't have fathers in the community. What do you think about that issue?
Well, I think that we need reform in all areas, whether it's criminal justice reform, police reform.
Yeah.
The laws that we have on the books right now are outdated. I mean, they worked back in the 60s and it worked in the 90s, but here we are in 2021, moving into the technology age, and different drugs are being removed from the FDA schedule. And I think with that, reform is absolutely necessary, especially talking about a time where it's hard to identify somebody with mental health issues. Where our law enforcement officers need more training on a regular basis, and this is coming from a military standpoint. We train quarterly. I think that same thing needs to apply to our law enforcement, keep them up to date with the current trends, whether it's mental health, whether it's fashion, whether it's identifying a criminal, suspect, things of that nature. Reform is necessary. It's long overdue, but we have politicians who sit in these positions and they fail to make any type of positive legislation.
Joe, I know, of course, you are very optimistic about this race, but what do you think your chances are of taking out a Maxine Waters, who's just been, a fixture, an incumbent in that district? You mentioned how long she's been there, and while she might not have the results, she's got the longevity. How can you change that?
Well, in our last election for 2020, we took our district from a D plus 54 to a D plus 24 and increased our registered voters by a little bit over 50,000. So this tells me with a D plus 54, I mean a D plus 24 district now, we can win the seat if we duplicate that same effort. But it's going to take participation and help from people across the United States, continue to support our campaign, continue to donate, and we'll win this seat. I'm extremely optimistic.
Amen. All right, Joe Collins, again, 13-year U.S. Navy veteran. Thank you for your service. Looking forward to your future service in the United States Congress if you can beat Maxine Waters. Thank you, sir. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Bye.